was learning Masechet Pesachim, the Mishnayot, we're up to the very beginning. And our tractate will go in the order of the order in which we do things. It goes in chronological order. So it begins with the responsibility to check the chametz. The night before the 14th, remember, the 14th is when we bring the Paschal offering, and then the night after that, we eat it and have the whole Seder. So the night prior to the Seder, meaning the night that will lead into the 14th, we look for the chametz used by candlelight. So, technically, what are we searching for? You could just say, I'm not interested in the chametz, and then you've annulled it, which we do anyways, after we search for the chametz and after we burn the chametz. So what are we looking for? So our sages were concerned that if you don't physically get rid of it, so one of two things might happen. Either you'll find a nice loaf of bread on Pesach, you'll find a nice cookie, you'll find a nice rugala, and you'll think, oh, I'd like to eat this. Now, the minute you pick it up and think, oh, I'd like to eat it, basically, you're reinstating your ownership over that rugala. And then one would be in transgression of Bayero Vayemotz on Pesach. Another understanding is that we're actually concerned that he'll eat it, because all year long you eat a rugala if you find it at home. You'll find some pretzels. You might eat it. So Chazal said, it's not enough that you fulfill your biblical obligation by saying, I'm not interested, I disown all of the chametz I have. You have to physically search after it and get rid of it. Now, our sages instituted that we do it by candlelight, because our sages wanted something that could go into the corners of a person's home. And it corresponds to the idea that we also search our souls. As the verse says, Ner Elokim nishmat adam chofes kol chadrei vaten. God's candle, so to speak, is our neshama. As the neshama goes through all the parts of a human being. And our sages instituted that we do it in the evening because that's time that people are home. They're not out at work. And that's time that using candlelight works the best. You try using a candlelight by day, you're not going to get anywhere. But if you didn't check at night, so you check again in the morning if you didn't get it done at the right time. Kol makom shein machnisim bo chametz en tzirich bdika. Any place that you don't ordinarily bring food into there, that there's no room to suspect that you might have mistakenly left a loaf of bread or some pretzels there or something else, you don't have to really check that place. So then, in what instance did our sages say you check two rows of the cellar, two rows of barrels of wine? That's talking about makom shemachnisim bo chametz. It's talking about a cellar that you might have approached during the meal with a piece of bread in your hand. Let's say you finished your wine, so you went to the cellar to get more wine. And it could be that when you went there, you're holding a piece of bread, and you put down the bread on one of the barrels and went to take the a barrel out, and you forgot your bread there. So that's what we're talking about. Because if it were a place that you never access with food in your hand, so then you wouldn't have had to check such a place for chametz. Beit Shammai Omrim Shtei Shurot Apnei Chol HaMartef. Beit Shammai say that when you check two rows, what we mean is the outer layer and the upper layer. Those are the two layers I check, like an upside down L shape. The whole outer layer of barrels, because the barrels are aligned one on top of the other. So you have row on top of row on top of row. So the whole outer row going to the ceiling, the row I face, and the top layer of rows. Imagine you have 10 barrels by 10 barrels by 10 barrels, right? 10 barrels depth, so you're checking the top 100 barrels and the outer 100 barrels. Right? Because you have 10 by 10 on the outside. Each row is 10. You have 10 depth. You have 10 height. You have 10 width. So 10 width by 10 height, that's 100. 10 height. And then on the height, you go again. 10 width by 10 depth. So that's what Beis Shammai say over it. Hillel omrim shtei shorot chitzonot shein helyonot. Beis Hillel say, no, no, no. We only take the upper corner, that row of ten, and then the row beneath it, and that's it. You don't need to check beyond that. We don't think that maybe you went deeper inside and took out a barrel and you were holding your loaf of bread. That's enough. We're not concerned that maybe the weasel, some kind of rat, the chulda, dragged chametz from one house to another, or from one place to another. Because if so, you have to be concerned maybe from my property to the next property, from my courtyard to his courtyard, from our city to the next city. There's no end. So Chazal said, check your house, and you don't have to worry if while I'm looking this way, weasels get dragged it that way. So they were living with weasels in their house. They were living with snakes and cats. You see it all the time. There were rabbis who woke up in the morning and found snakes in their bed. They literally were living with all this stuff in their houses. So I can tell you, we had a rat climb into our porch. And you know they're taking things back and forth. You hear them going back and forth. They lived with it all the time. So, okay. The Mishnah nonetheless says, if you didn't see a weasel, you don't have to start worrying. Maybe he dragged the chametz from one room to the other. Rabbi Yehuda says, you have a choice one of these three times to check. If you didn't do it in the evening, do it in the morning. You didn't do it in the morning, do it at the time that you have to really get rid of the chametz. And Chachamim say, no, you're supposed to check at night the way we do. The night of the 14th, which this year is going to be the night between Thursday and Friday. If you didn't check then, yivdok ba'basal. So then, if you didn't do it, we say check the next morning. But that's only if you didn't do it. It's not the ideal situation. No, b'dak ba'basal, yivdok b'toch ha'moed. If you didn't check on the 14th, so check in Yom Tov. No, b'dak b'toch ha'moed, yivdok lach ha'moed. If you didn't check during the holiday, check after the holiday. Because the chachamim hold, you got to really get rid of it, so you got to check even afterwards. Now, after you checked your chametz, so you collected all the chametz in the house, make sure to put it away somewhere. Because if, let's say, you know you put away 10 loaves of bread, and you come back and there are 9 loaves of bread, so now you know you have a problem. Then it's not a question whether a weasel or a kid dragged it somewhere. You know someone dragged it somewhere. You could check. I did this to my parents more than once as a kid. They finished the Vdikas Chametz, and suddenly, where'd that 10th loaf go? I was the troublemaker. Okay, and what was worse is I fell asleep. And then they tried waking me and asking me. I was like, I don't know. Right, that wasn't too nice. What can you do? Okay, so we say, after you check, put it away. Rabbi Meir Omer, Ochanim Kol Chamesh, Mesorfin B'Tchilat Shesh. Rabbi Meir says, technically, everyone agrees that chametz is only prohibited from the afternoon onward, Friday afternoon onward in this year, right? Pesach is on Shabbos, so from Friday afternoon onward. But we take a precaution and we say stop eating 2 hours before that and start burning an hour before that, burning your chametz. So you don't enter a point where you've entered its prohibitive state. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you take another step back and you say, and this is how we go, Ochlin kol arba. You eat only in the fourth hour, meaning you 2 hours beforehand, you've already stopped eating. Vitolin kol chamesh, and in the fifth hour, you don't eat at all. We're concerned they were working off of sundials. On a cloudy day, a person could confuse the hours. V'solvin b'tchilat shesh, but in the beginning of the 6 hours, you start burning. Rabbi Yehuda said they had a sign in the temple's time. They had 2 loaves of bread that were disqualified from an offering. And they'd leave the 2 loaves of bread on a rooftop there, on a porch. So long as you saw 2 loaves there, you knew you were still allowed to eat. Then they take one away. So you knew at that time you couldn't eat anymore. You don't eat, but you could feed your animals. You don't yet have to burn it. You could derive benefit, but that was the protection they did, that they stopped eating an extra hour early. They'd use it for chicken feed or something else, but they wouldn't eat it after that. Once both loaves of bread were removed, that was a sign that everyone should start burning. Remember, those were the days before cell phones and SMSs, so that was the sign. Everyone could look and see. Rabbi Gamliel says, we have a special leniency for the holy food of Truma, where we'd let a person eat it into the fifth hour as well. Rabbi Chanina Sgan HaKohanim Omer. Okay, so this is a complicated Mishnah. We're going to skip it. And the next Mishnah is also a complicated Mishnah. Laws of purity and defilement. But at the end of the day, it's not relevant to us. Okay, so that brings us to the conclusion of this chapter.